Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into the program. Hope your day is starting off well. A little chilly, just under 40 degrees out there, but it's going to be a nice day. Or a beautiful day, as you two would sing to us. Although I won't go that far. I'll say nice day. It was nice yesterday, right? Nice getting to go outside without having to wear a jacket. It was still a little windy. And I don't know, like I took my jacket off. I had to run a couple of errands, took my jacket off and was like, okay, maybe I still need to wear it. But then by the time the late afternoon rolled around, it's perfect. I actually, I went and pulled my bicycle out of storage, brought it down here and took it for a ride on the bike path. And that thing had been in storage for about 2 years and creaked every moment of it. Creaked it all out as I was trying to ride down the path. I was worried the tire's going to hold air. I mean, I filled them up here at the station, waited. Didn't see any air go down. I didn't get a tire pressure gauge, but, you know, I was just kind of doing the whole squeeze them technique. Honestly, in my 46 years of life, I've never tested bicycle tires in any other way but squeezing them. And then I oiled up the chain, oiled up some of the other important parts of the bike, put on some headphones with some music and just jumped on it and rode down to the bike path behind the station here. And it felt rickety. There's a lot that needs to get tightened up on it. But it was still nice to get out there on it. And I got about a mile in. And that was about all I could do because I'm still coming back from the surgery and still trying to get my wind back up again. But it was nice to be out there and riding around with all the people that were out on bikes too. And, you know, here I am, this lumbering, still overweight guy on a beach cruiser type bike going down the path. And multiple times I pass groups of kids. And I say kids, I mean, they could have been anywhere from, you know, 9 to 16 in these different groups. And I figured one of them was bound to mock me or say something. And it's, you know, whatever. It's not going to bother me. But, you know, I'm wobbling around and all that kind of stuff. And all of them, or any of the ones that said anything to me, was all super supportive. Like, hey, good job, or you know, I mean, maybe they were mocking me, but still, it seemed like everybody was being positive and super supportive. And I was like, wow, these are all nice kids. Because that probably wouldn't have been me when I was that age. Probably would have been cracking jokes to all my friends and laughing at somebody. But I've worked on myself in all the years since. Now I make sure they definitely can't hear me when I do that. So anyway, yesterday we had the big breaking story that there's more area of New Bedford Harbor that has now been closed to shellfishing. And the reason for that is the outfall from New Bedford and Fairhaven's wastewater treatment facilities. And I think some folks are getting some of the information twisted up a bit, because I've seen a lot of comments on social media, heard calls here into the station that this is because the outfall water isn't supposed to be going into the harbor, that the outfall is not where it's supposed to be in terms of how clean it is before it goes into the harbor. And neither of those things are the case. So I received the press release embargoed on Monday afternoon. I was able to work up the bones of a story for Tuesday morning. And then Tuesday morning, right when I got off the air at 9 a.m., I jumped into a conference call they were having for the media to explain this information a little bit more. And they had a slide presentation and a lot more information than what was in the original release. And so I can tell you that the Department of Marine Fisheries was pointing out multiple times that this is not a matter of the wastewater not being treated properly or not being disposed of properly. All of it is right where it's supposed to be. The problem is, and as it was explained to us yesterday on this call, there's a threshold of what that wastewater has to be in order for it to leave the wastewater treatment facility and go out into the ocean. And that threshold is for human beings to be able to swim in that water. Now, I know you're not going to go swim directly around the outfall from the treatment plant. I know. But how much do the particles that are in that water affect the water that you would be swimming in? So if New Bedford's treatment plant is pumping out that wastewater and then you're swimming at East Beach or West Beach, you know, what's the threshold for how much of that can affect where the people are? And the main thing they're concerned about, obviously, with wastewater is E. coli. But the water is being pumped out at the threshold with plenty of safety for human beings to actually be in that water. Again, you know, don't go put your mouth on the pipe coming from the septic plant, but it's perfectly fine. It's meeting all the requirements. No issues. But the real issue is the fact that shellfish are little mini filter systems. So the shellfish that are in the immediate impact area of that wastewater are taking in those contaminants and need more time to process it. And so therefore you can't harvest that shellfish and feed it to people. Now, this has been going on for years. For years, there have been, from what the DMF explained, there were two harvesters that actually harvest in the area that is now being added into the prohibited zone. There was already a prohibited zone. And you can see the map and the story at WBSM.com and on the app. There was already an area where you couldn't shellfish. So that's nothing new. It's just that the area is expanding out a little more. The area is expanding out another 11,000 acres when originally, close to 12,000 acres, when originally the plan that the FDA wanted the DMF to follow would have prohibited 103,000 acres. So that's an 82% difference between the plan that was called for and the plan that was kind of the interim agreement plan. So in the area that will now be closed, there are two harvesters that go in and get quahogs from there. And that's what we're really talking about here. This is just really affecting quahogs. And there are two harvesters that go in there and get those quahogs. They are not going to be able to get those quahogs anymore from that area. But they have other areas that they get them from. I believe the slide they showed us showed an impact of less than $20,000 per vessel is what they were bringing in from that area. So the belief is that they'll be able to make that up somewhere else. Now, the rest of the area that was supposed to be closed down, but that they're saying, you know, let us try to keep it open, that becomes conditionally approved. Which means they can still harvest in that area, they can still farm in that area, but the problem is they can no longer take shellfish from that prohibited area, from the conditionally approved area, and sell that to Europe because the European Union won't allow the sale of shellfish that came from a conditionally approved area. They want it only from areas that are fully approved, so that's going to limit the market for what's caught in these 11,000 acres. But that doesn't seem to be an overwhelming concern, at least on the part of the DMF. They think that that can be mitigated by just having them, you know, go into deeper waters outside of the conditionally approved area. The other part of this is that the city of New Bedford has been pushing for years now for an aquaculture industry. In the area of Clark's Cove, and this is going to put a damper on that. It's effectively going to shut down that plan because the way it was explained to us, they can still seed quahogs out there and let them grow to be 25 millimeters, about an inch in size. And then once they get to be that size, they would have to be transported out of those beds and brought somewhere that's not in this area. Now, the city is not only upset about that, but also upset about the way that they've had communication with the DMF, Department of Marine Fisheries. Gordon Carr from the New Bedford Port Authority, the executive director of the Port Authority, sent a letter to the director of the DMF explaining their concerns. You told us back in the summer of last year that this study was happening, but we were not given the results in a timely manner. And then, you know, we're asking for meetings and instead, you know, you're waiting until this is happening to be in contact with us. And by the time you're telling us about it, we have no say anymore. It's a foregone conclusion. And so that's concerning because they feel much like what happened with the septic systems and the nitrogen levels in Buzzards Bay, that people weren't being informed of what was going on until decisions had already been made about here's what you have to do. And that's not how government regulation should work. So they sent a list of, 19 questions or concerns that they have that they're waiting to hear back from the DMF on. And also Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette, who is the chair of the City Council's Environmental Committee, said he's going to be holding a meeting where he wants to have the important folks involved in this whole discussion come before the council's Environmental Committee. And that's going to be happening on Wednesday, April 17th at 7 p.m., which was the earliest possible date he could get when requesting this hearing. And he said he sees the fact that the European Union doesn't want to allow for the import of shellfish from these conditionally approved areas as a, quote, red flag. Basically what he says, well, if Europe doesn't want it, why is it okay for us to want it? They must be onto something. But as the DMF pointed out, this has been going on for years, this outflow from the wastewater treatment facilities, and harvesters have gone out and gotten the quahogs from this area, and there have been no reports of any humans being sick. Now, you're not, you know, we're not talking about something that's necessarily fatal. We're talking about if you were to get sick, it's E. coli bacteria. So what do you get when you have an E. coli outbreak? Diarrhea, vomiting, stomach pains, discomfort. Obviously, it can be more serious if you're immunocompromised, if you're older, if you're younger. But we've had plenty of E. coli outbreaks around here and boil water orders. The people understand that risk. And most of the time, especially quahogs, I mean, quahogs are not something, correct me if I'm wrong, they're not huge on the raw seafood list. Now, I've eaten tons of them raw. When I worked in the diner, we used to have to steam them every week for our quahog chowder that we'd make. Big bushels, and, you know, we'd be back there for hours, but we'd chuck a few and put some hot sauce on them and suck them down. Not the best thing to eat raw. So most people are either steaming or cooking them to the point where they're probably cooking away any bacterias anyway. But the point of the DMF is we would have heard about it if there was a problem. We would have heard about it by now if somebody had an issue. However, and they made that argument to the FDA, but their hands are tied. They have to do something, and so that's why they came up with this plan, because they said this plan of conditionally approved areas is certainly better than 103,000 acres of prohibited areas. And also as part of this, so if they had just let everything be prohibited, the DMF would really have no extra work to do. The approved areas are tested 5 times a year. The water is tested 5 times a year. But by making this area conditionally approved instead of prohibited, they will have to test it monthly. So they've got to do a lot more testing as part of this. But they're willing to do that in order to keep more of it open. The DMF official that conducted this meeting yesterday did say that they can, you know, if at any point, because this goes into effect immediately, but they said that if at any point anything changes, they can also immediately switch back. And he did say that the FDA is probably going to want to require at least a year's worth of testing to show the effects of the seasons and the weather. And if after a year, everything comes back okay, they might just change it all to fully approved. But there's also the possibility that that testing could show levels that aren't okay, and at which point the conditionally approved would have to become prohibited. So it could go either way. We won't know until the testing begins, which, you know, if the restrictions went into effect yesterday, we're a month away from that first test. Although I'm sure they're going to be doing some testing quite frequently at the beginning here. So that's as plainly as I can explain it. You can read about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. it's not good, but it could have been worse, is basically the takeaway here. It's certainly not the way that it was characterized, from my understanding, in the meeting in Fairhaven, the select board meeting, in which the harbor was going to be closed for shellfishing forever. Now, keep in mind that part of it was closed to shellfishing because of something that happened back in September. Some testing that came back in September. So, but that's not a permanent reclassification. That's just a temporary order. This is a reclassification of those areas. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break and we'll be back in a few moments.
Walk away if you want to. It's okay if you need to. Well, you can run, but you can never hide from the shadow that's creeping up beside you. There's a magic running through your soul, but you can have it all. Whatever you do, I'll be two steps behind you. Wherever you go, and I'll be there to remind you that it only takes a minute of your precious.
Well, but I'm about 30 seconds behind to give way to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom. So take it away, Phil.
A TikTok ban inches closer to reality. A rematch for the White House. And rocker Neil Young changes his mind about Spotify.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
House Republicans are moving forward with a vote on a bill that would effectively ban TikTok in the U.S. A vote on the measure is scheduled for today. It would require the app's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, to sell to an American owner in an attempt to address national security concerns. It will be a rematch for the White House in 2024. President Biden and former President Trump each clinched their respective parties' nomination Tuesday, setting up the rematch of the 2020 election. Recent polls show the two essentially dead even in the race for office in November, thought to be the longest general election campaign ever. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a short list when it comes to his running mate on the independent presidential ticket. On Tuesday, it was reported Kennedy has been in talks with NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers, as well as former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse Ventura. Author and columnist Mitch Albom and his wife are among 10 people who've been rescued from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. The group from Michigan was at Albom's Have Faith Haiti orphanage, and their rescue was coordinated partly by Republican Congresswoman Lisa McLean. The attorneys for a Boeing whistleblower found dead over the weekend are speaking out. 62-year-old John Barnett was found dead outside of a South Carolina hotel. He was known for speaking out about Boeing's production standards after working for the company for over three decades. Though the coroner's office said Barnett's death was the result of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, Barnett's attorneys are calling on Charleston police to investigate further. And Neil Young is making his return to Spotify. The 78-year-old rock star left the streaming service in protest back in 2022 because of COVID misinformation on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. On Tuesday, Young said he was returning to Spotify because, quote, Apple and Amazon have started serving the same disinformation podcast features.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Celtics beat the Utah Jazz 123-107. They're home to play the Phoenix Suns on Thursday. The Bruins in Montreal to play the Canadiens on Thursday as well. And the Red Sox play the New York Yankees in spring training today at 1.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Another sunny day in store on the South Coast, with temperatures topping out in the mid-50s. Tonight, we get down to a low of about 27 degrees. Thursday looks even nicer, 65 degrees, sunny again, and a low of 42 degrees. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. That's the number to call in and chime in. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim.
How's it going?
What's going on?
Not much. What's on your mind?
So I went to a candidate's night last night over in Dartmouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat through the select board candidates. Unfortunately, one of them couldn't make it because he was actually at another meeting that he's already on the board of Conservation Committee or something like that. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to hear the actual competitive seat. I heard Chris O'Neill, who's running for an open seat, and Dave Tattlebaum. And I got to say, Dave I've known for a while, very knowledgeable. I don't think he's even in a contested race. But Chris is, and I'm very impressed with the acuity of the knowledge that he has already, right? He's been involved in the town for a while, but he impressed me. On the school committee side, though, that's where it fell flat. You had Mary Beckwith and Kyle Ross, and neither candidate, in my opinion, really spoke to me. Kyle kind of, he fell flat because he gave a lot of platitudes and a lot of, he didn't really go in depth on what he believes. It was just a lot of, you know, just typical campaign speak. And mm-hmm. Mary kind of focused more on the social justice side and not on the curriculum side, which really turned me off. You know, she wanted to kind of like really get down to everybody's included, which I don't have a problem with. Everybody should be included, obviously, but when you focus on one side more than the curriculum side, it kind of like, you know, let's get down to brass tacks and look at your algebra and your business math and all that stuff. And really, how do we get graduation rates up, or how do we, you know, get our scores up or whatever. But overall, like, in my opinion, Chris O'Neill definitely took the night. And Kathleen Amaral, she was one of the timekeepers. She's the chairwoman for the school committee. She did a really good job. But, overall, I really like Chris. I don't know. Not a lot going on. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to hear the other gentleman. I think his name's John Souza.
Yeah.
Which I figured he would be relatively good, you know, being on the finance committee, being involved in the town for a lot. He probably has a lot of institutional knowledge, but unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it. I think there's another candidate tonight coming up. Not sure exactly when. Hopefully, he'll be able to make that.
Well, let me ask you this. So when you are deciding who to vote for municipal office, how much do you take into account other boards and commissions that they've served on?
I weigh each board and commission differently, right? If you're on a board that is very specific and doesn't get into a lot of heavy lifting, I weigh that significantly different than I would say the finance committee or the parks department or, you know, a larger department with a larger payroll. And, you know, if you're just going to be, you know, on the committee to, you know, change the color of the street lights from LED to, you know, halogen, or from halogen to LED. I don't really care. I really don't care what board you sat on, if that was the case. But if you're on the finance committee, you know, you're looking at every, you know, how much every pencil is when it comes across your, you know, comes across your seat.
Sure. Yeah. And I think anybody that serves, at least you get that knowledge of, you know, how meetings are run and the rules of order and all of that. But I do think that, you know, people have limited time to be able to give. And I've always kind of weighed the people who, even if they're on commissions, like you're saying, that for lack of a better term, that are non-consequential. I mean, that are just part of the machine of how a municipal government operates. I still look at that as, hey, these people have given their time, as opposed to somebody who absolutely has no idea what this time commitment might be.
Right. No, 100%. Like, if you're already involved in the town, that's already a bonus, in my opinion, versus somebody who's just walking off the street and says, hey, I want to be a selectman. And you've never served on anything. You don't even know where the town hall is. You've never been prior to, you know, you turning in your election papers.
Now, in other...
That type of...
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in other towns, one of the concerns, especially with things like school committee, is there's outside forces that are trying to, you know, help put certain candidates into positions. And, you know, some of these outside organizations that are trying to change things, and they say, well, we're going to find a candidate that we can put up in these races. But it sounds like, at least in Dartmouth, everything is very organic. These are residents that actually care and want to be able to serve.
Oh, absolutely. Mary and Kyle are both well grounded in the town. They've served on, you know, recreational, you know, teams, you know, football, and I think Mary is involved in a various amount of, you know, nonprofits in the area, and they've been in town for decades. That's the other thing. If you come into town and you start, hey, I'm going to run for select board, or I want to run for park board, or I want to run for the school committee, and you just moved in 2023, you know, get your feet wet. You know, you don't know how this town works and the intricacies of this town. You may have served on other towns, but this town's a little different, just like any other town. Just like if somebody from Dartmouth moved to your old town, you know, find out who the players are. Find out how things work and where you're not going to be a huge disruptor. You might have better ideas, but don't be a huge come in and just think you know everything and change the world just because you want to. I think being grounded in the community for, you know, at least 5 years, at least. And, then get your feet wet in the political system. But yeah, not impressed with overall when it's just one guy that really sticks out.
Well, I mean, like you said, there might be another candidates night here that there can be a second shot, and, you know, maybe there's some more stuff that'll happen. I know Chris has been having people on the radio, so, you know, you can have some more chances to hear somebody, and somebody might surprise you.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward, because I believe John Souza, who's, I think, Chris O'Neill's opponent, he's going to be on Chris's show relatively soon. I know he mentioned that yesterday, which is great, because Chris actually asked tougher questions than maybe was submitted to the candidates night. That might make a difference too, is the types of questions. You know, if you're getting these questions like, oh, well, what's your favorite color and what ice cream did you eat today? I don't care, but that, you know, it adds, you know, get a little more substance on the question side, and I think it makes things better too.
Right, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for the call.
All right, Tim.
You have a good day.
Have a good one.
And some of those questions, you know, not to, I mean, obviously he's being, you know, a little bit facetious there, but the getting to know you questions do have a place. But when you've got these forums, when it's a chance for people to make their decision, I mean, we can get to know you through the profile pieces that'll be like in Dartmouth Week. We can get to know you through your Facebook page, your campaign page, videos you can put out. I mean, in these candidate forums, you just want to get into the issues. The last one that I went to in person was the one that was for the Freetown School Committee, when there was that issue with the mom, Kayla Churchill, the one who had exposed security flaws in the schools, and she was running, and, you know, there was a lot of controversy around it, and I attended that for the, you know, the news value of it, because it was something that we were talking about on the radio. And that one I thought was, you know, pretty well run in the way that they got to the point and the way that they allowed for the audience to ask a lot of questions. And sometimes it doesn't always go that way. I mean, I've been at ones where it becomes too much of a, almost like a stand-up routine. Especially if it's somebody who's an incumbent and doesn't have an opponent, but they still want to get up there and speak. It's like, okay, I get it. I get that you're happy and grateful that the people keep reelecting you, but I want to hear from the people that I've never heard from before. You know, so it's a balance of getting the right information out, but also giving people the platform, giving candidates the platform to have their voice heard. 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We're going to take a break here and we'll be back in a few moments.
Dread.
Say, you know what isn't magic is how kids get to school every day. I know it might seem like that if you're a parent. They just walk out the door, they disappear, they come back 8 hours later or so, walking back through the door again. It's magic, right? No, it's not magic. They get to and from school thanks to Tremblay Bus Company. And Tremblay Bus Company desperately needs school bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. So if you are a stay-at-home parent that needs to work around your kid's school schedule, or maybe you're a retiree who's just looking to earn a little bit of extra money, perhaps you're looking for a second job, whatever it may be, it's a chance to earn great pay while supporting local students. And I know you're thinking, well, I'd love to be a school bus driver, Tim, but you need a CDL for that, and I don't have one. And I don't even know how to go about getting one. Well, don't worry about that. If you are willing to learn, Tremblay Bus Company is willing to train you. If you would like to get more information on some of the jobs available and how to apply, just visit their website, tbcbus.com. That's tbcbus.com for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com, and join Tremblay Bus Company today. And speaking of getting up in the mornings and actually listening to the radio all different times a day, our condolences go out to the friends and family of Ron St. Pierre. He has passed away at the age of 69. He was known for decades for his work in Rhode Island radio. Both on the air and behind the scenes, he worked at WPRO. He worked at WHJJ. He had a stint as a sportscaster for WPRI-TV. He had traveled out of the area and worked in some other markets as well, but you know, he was known as the guy who made it so that Buddy Cianci could be on the radio. Not only recruiting him to be a radio talk show host, but being his co-host for many years. And of course, putting on fantastic programs on his own. So radio legend Ron St. Pierre has passed away at the age of 69. 508-996-0500. That's my number if you want to call in with any Ron St. Pierre memories or whatever else is on your mind. You can also send them via app chat or open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Right now, though, I've got one more break. I'm going to take this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. In.
There is always something there to
And welcome back in. We have about a minute left here before we're going to go into the news. But speaking of news, if you hadn't heard the news, last night, the Wareham boys basketball team advanced to the Division IV state final with a thrilling 67-65 overtime win over Millbury. And what's really exciting about this is the team that they're going to face in the state final, the Bourne Canalmen. Bourne knocked off Burke 71-60. So now the details of the game haven't been announced yet, but it's going to be happening at the Songus Arena in Lowell. I'm sorry, the Songus Center. And this is just going to be an insane game. Wareham and Bourne, longtime rivals.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.